بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The you commence with Surah Yusuf, and Allah Ta'ala declares it to be Ahsan al-Qasas, the best story. So the reason for it being the best story, it gives multiple reasons. One is because of the wisdom and the lessons that are contained in this surah. Every verse has got some lesson. Number two, and the story of the beautiful are also beautiful. Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam met with Yusuf Alayhi Salaam on the night of Mi'raj, on the third heaven. فَإِذَا هُوَ قَدْ أُوْتِيَ شَطْرُ الْحُسْنِ. And I saw Yusuf, and I saw that he's been blessed with half the world's beauty. You see, one stupid girl, and you can't resist yourself. Here the man has got half the world's beauty. إِذَا هُوَ قَدْ أُوْتِيَ شَطْرُ الْحُسْنِ. So the story of the beautiful must be beautiful. So it starts off, Yusuf alayhi salam relates his dream to his father. He must be young, 7, 8, 5. We understand that every junior must relate to his senior. That's how Allah Pak designed the world, that someone is going to be junior, someone is going to be senior. And the junior needs to take advantage of the senior. Like in material things, then he refers to the senior, doesn't he? One's food, and he asks his senior. He's got some problem, toothache, headache, he'll refer to his senior. So similarly, in mundane things, in other affairs, he must refer. Provided the senior also is capable. If the senior is not right, then how can he refer to him? What type of people come in the madrasa? One child was here. He said, what must I do? When I go home, my father insists I must watch porn with him. So now, I have to add this to show that the senior must be respected so long as within parameters. If you call wrong things, upside down things, then how can you listen to him? Right? We won't disrespect him. But in the wrong, we won't follow him. So one is respect, one is the wrong. See, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he showed all the respect to his father. But he couldn't join his father in the wrong. Father is doing idolatry and all that stupid things he's doing. He could correct him, he could advise him, but he couldn't go further than that. Al-Mu'atami Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, his father, was quite a wealthy person and very understanding, very intelligent. So he had sent Hazrat to further studies to Deoband. Primary studies had been over. For further studies he sent him. And his father was doing big business, and sometimes he would take a collateral. you buy something from me and you don't have the cash, so I take something as a security. So sometimes it's a property that is taken as a collateral, as a security. So the father didn't know the masla. So as he would receive the collateral, the security as a property, then he would rent it and take the rental. So Maulana is studying in Dioban, and Maulana explained his father through a letter that this what you are doing, this practice is not right. Because this is accruing some type of benefit through a loan. You lend the person and he gave you a security and you are giving it in rent. So, kullu qardin jarra nafan. It's a loan that is accruing some type of benefit. Then this is also a form of riba, a form of interest. So the father was a little bit upset at this small nupa now, he's explaining me. So his father went to his Hindu friend and explained the whole story to his friend. Let's see, I sent this boy to study. Now he's teaching me now. So the friend explained, be thankful to this child of yours. If you sent him to become an accountant, then he will give you ideas and he will correct you in matters related to accounting. And if he doesn't, and because of him not guiding you, and you have to pay 5 million rand more in tax, won't you rebuke the child? Or won't you feel disappointed that I sent this person here? And it could be a small adjustment, because of that adjustment I would have saved so much more. But he didn't point it out to me, as a result, I had to pay so much. So he will correct you in the thing that he's trained. Similarly, he's trained in deen. So when he's trained in deen, then he will show you that this is not right. Because as Muslims, you all believe in a thing like the hereafter. That if you don't do it right, you're going to catch it. So he's saving you from a problem. Similarly, if you sent your child to become a doctor and then he's asking you to do some things and not to do some things, avoid some things and take some things, then you'll be thankful to the child that, see, I sent the child to study and he's directing me, he's saving me from major problems. So the junior will refer to the senior in all matters, unless the senior is doing something totally off. But obviously, when he's doing something totally off, then he can't be obeyed. وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِي عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. But the Quran says, give you two advice. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. One advice is that you will live with him with kindness. Even though he's wrong, and he may be encouraging you to wrong, but that doesn't mean that you must disrespect him, defy him, or show him any type of disrespect. Yes, you will not obey him. But it's wrong. How you get cases now? One man came here, ultra wealthy, so his daughter is engaged. So the daughter is engaged, so sometimes the fiancé comes around. And the whole house is, you know, let him sleep the night tonight here. Let him sleep the night. Now he came up to me, said, no, they're not even married and they must sleep. Is that right? I said, no. So then he asked him, what must do now? Because now the whole family is against him. He is one person. And the whole family says, no, they are already engaged, so she is the fiancée. So let them sleep the night, enjoy themselves a bit. So I asked him, how's your relationship with your son-in-law? Good. So they bring him here. They brought him straight. He said, all right, now, I've got 3-4 big students with the nikah. Right, now it's no more fiancé. Now what you're doing is halal. You can enjoy it in a halal way, so why enjoy it in a haram way? You throttle the animal and add the meat, right? But you could say Bismillah, slaughter it and eat it still. So when you can eat in halal way, then why insist that you must eat in the haram way? So it appealed to him with the nikah, enjoy yourself. Small adjustment. Now they can do the show nikah, they can do afterwards. The nikah is done. They out of the haram parameter, out of the halal. Now it's just a show. You don't need to make nikah again now. So there is a class of people who want to do the right thing. But I'll just show them some small adjustment, how you can do it and guard yourself from haram. Why must a Muslim lose? A Muslim must always be winner. See, the Quran Sharif says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Muslim has won. So Allah, He pre-ruled it. You must be a winner. You mustn't be a loser. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Past tense. Muslim won. So he doesn't want you to be a failure. He must be a winner. So the son is relating the dream to the father. Now you get different type of dreams. Some dreams is adwasu ahlam, right? It's a medley of thoughts. Like what must have happened in the day, you are seeing something. One friend of mine from Johannesburg, old man, about 75 now. So back in the 60s or something, so he found a girl for himself. Now his father is very intelligent, super intelligent. I saw the father, super intelligent. So he tells the father, you know, I found a girl. I made istikhara, everything is right. So the father told him a little bit of rough language. Whole day you are fantasizing over this girl, and then you're saying me that the istikhara is working. It's not the istikhara, it's the fantasy that you saw. See? So sometimes it's misconstrued. You're fantasizing all the time. Fantasizing, the thought is just spinning in your head. And then, with all that, you're making istikhara. So what do you saw? You didn't see an answer. What you were fantasizing over, that's what you saw. Then if it doesn't work, then you say, oh, istikhara didn't work. So you get some serious cases here. One person came here. He was come out about 35 years ago. 1986, 37 years ago. This time, you know, I'm in love with my wife's sister. I made istikhara, it worked out positive. So I will tell him, see, istikhara is not done for a thing that is wajib, haram, sunnat, or mustahab. Istikhara is done for something that is only permissible. See? Istikhara is not done for a thing that is wajib, haram, makruh, or sunnat or mustahab. But that means you're saying you're making istikhara for a haram. So if it works out, that means that the haram is permissible for you. What are you saying? Or if you're making an istikhara for a wajib or a faraz, that means subjecting the faraz or the wajib or the sunnah on your istikhara. You can't subject it. You can't make istikhara, must I read namaz? Can you? Even if it's a sunnah namaz, like tarawih namaz, sunnah, right? You can't subject it to istikhara. Yes, you can make istikhara, alright, what time should we do the namaz? You are allowed to do the namaz, for example, presently the Isha namaz at 7:30. And you're also allowed to read at 7:15. So both are permissible. So over that you can make an istikhara, alright. Should we make it at 7:15 or should we do it at 7:30? That's alright. So, one dream is just a medley of thoughts. It's the thoughts which are floating in your mind. And what was floating in your mind, that's what you saw. So you can't say that that was an answer to your istikhara. Istikhara, actually, what it refers to is you asking for good from Allah Ta'ala. Whatever you want, you're embarking upon, you're asking for good. It's not a decision, it's not a command. A lot of times you get cases coming here. Wow, made istikhara for the girl. Positive, but they're not accepting. So I will tell them in a little bit of a jolly way. Say, for example, she made istikhara, and her istikhara saying, no, mustn't accept it. Eh? So istikhara is not an obligation. Not that you can't impose your istikhara to the next person. Can't. So sterile, inshallah. So, deen is perfect. It's greater than perfect. But the flaws come up because of your misunderstanding, misconstruing, or misunderstanding something. That's where the flaw comes. Otherwise, deen is absolutely perfect. There's no flaw. You can't find a flaw in it. Absolutely perfect, perfect, checked and rechecked and endorsed. So you can't find a flaw in deen. The flaw is in your reasoning. The flaw is in your understanding. You didn't understand it well. Al-Muhammad Qasim Sahib Naroti Rahmatullah Ali, he had taken ill very seriously. So his cousin Yaqub Sahib, he had a dream or something. I said, don't worry. And he was a very great saintly person, my Yaqub Sahib. Don't worry. He will pull through his sickness, he will live. But he passed away. So he says, no, I misread the dream. When, what dream I had seen about my Qasim Sahib is I saw the word Mahdi. Right? So, in Arabic they got the alphabet's got numerical values. Like how you know you say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and then they got a numerical value 786. So they add all the alphabets, and then this is where they end up. So similarly, now Mahdi got a numerical value. That value is coming at about, if you add that Mahdi according to that value, it's coming at about 80 or something. The mirror Mona is 49. You know, I misread the istikhara. It showed me Mahdi. It didn't refer to the numerical value. It referred to the age of Imam Mahdi. Now Mahdi, after his coming to the earth, he lived for 9 years. He'll come at the age of 40, and he'll live for 9 years. So this is what he was referring to, and I, Muslim, did it. Our elders, a lot of them had a little bit of humor in them. But they would laugh, joke, but their taqwa was like something different. The mountains would move. Taqwa so far. Al-Muhammad Qasim Sahib's one friend, he was applying for a job in Bareilly. So he saw a dream of ducks. And the duck in Arabic is bat. Bat. In Urdu and Gujarati say batakh. But in Arabic it's bat. Battun. So he says that I saw ducks coming from Bareilly. So Mawlana Qasim Sahib says, he's got a little bit of humor in him. He says that if you don't offer me Muay Thai, then you're going to get 11 rupees. And if you offer some Muay Thai, then it's 20. What he saw? Duck coming in. So, well, I'll give the Muay Thai, but how you keep to 11 and 20? How do you come to that conclusion? So Mawlana told him, or Qasim Sahib told him, see, that B, the bear, you know, say bear, ba, right? Ba, the numerical value is 2. And Tha, the numerical value is 9. Right? So if you read the word bat without a tajdeed, so it's bat, right? So then, if you interpret it accordingly, you're going to get 11, right? But if you interpret it with a tajdeed, bat, Tun, 2 plus 9 plus 9, that is 20. So if you interpret it that way, that is 20. So he did get 20. But now it's also subject to the person that's interpreting the dream. Ar-ru'ya ala rijli ta'irin. Hadith says that dream is as though it is stuck to the leg of a bird, you know? As though it's there. What it means, that thing is volatile, it can fall anytime. So it's just a matter of a person interpreting it, and then it takes place. So sometimes it works in your favor, sometimes it works against you, how you interpret. So therefore, he says that don't relate your dream to any person and every person. It's a person that is sincere and good towards you, and he knows the dream, then you relate the dream to him, not to anybody and everybody. Otherwise, unnecessarily he'll give you gabrat. He just gave him a dream, so he'll give you gabrat. But he doesn't know the thing. One man came here, so he's telling me his father is late, right? So he saw that his father is offering some jewelry to his mother. So I knew exactly now, the mother time is up, the mother's time is up. What's the Indian custom? When you made the engagement then the general is in it. And gave up, what happens? You offer the jewelry. So he came to offer jewelry now. That means now, come over, I come across now. So I knew what it means. But how can I tell you your mother is going to die? It's a difficult one. It's not going to be acceptable to anybody so easily. So I say, yeah, alright. No, I'll make dua for your mother, inshallah. But I was saying like that, I can't tell you the exact meaning. From now you start crying until the mother dies. So that's one type of dream. The second type of dream is taswilum mina shaitan. Shaitan tries to frighten you, but you see something now is scaring you. See. Sometimes shaitan also plays fools. You know, children, one is trying to frighten the other one. So he also plays fools with you, tries to play with you. So the easy thing is when this type of a frightening thing comes, read A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan 3 times and do as though you're spitting towards your left, try. Finish. Nothing will happen, inshallah. And ask Allah Ta'ala for the good. So don't get scared. Don't worry about this. And just see 3 times A'udhu Billah and just turn to the left, to the other side. You know? So that's the Tasweer Minash Shaitan. And the third dream, that is now from Allah Ta'ala. It's a true dream. I know about, when I just came from India, then every year or so I used to go to India, spend some time with Hazarji, and then come back. But now, the tickets were very cheap at that time. When we talk of 1980, 1982, tickets were very cheap. And you didn't need to have a visa to go to Umrah. No visa for India, no visa for Umrah. All free, on the house. No visa, nothing to pay, nothing. Now I have to apply, pay so much. So no visa, and you don't have to pay anything. So I'm thinking to myself now, that must I go for Umrah first, or must I go for Umrah on the return? Making dua, making. Then I saw that I'm eating khajur, then I'm eating pan. So at least I must make Umrah first, and then go to India. So that is Minar Rahman. One is Tasweer Minash Shaitan, and one is, I said, it's a medley of thoughts, you know. And the third one is from Allah Ta'ala, definitely. But then the hadith says that the person that is very truthful, that his dream also will be very truthful. He is very truthful, straight. You don't see an inconsistent plan in him. So his dreams are very truthful. But that person will be true at heart and in his behavior. Now his mind is upside down, he's saying something, he's believing something else, then his dreams also go upside down. But he's true, he's honest, then his dreams also go right. But dreams are such, it doesn't have to be a buzrug or a learned person to give an interpretation. Even a kafir can interpret a dream. Safiya is one of the wives of Rasul Pakistan. So she's coming from a Jewish background, came into Islam, right? And she is the wife of the leader and also the daughter of the leader. So she came to Rasul Pakistan and there was a mark on the cheek. Near the eye, there's a blue mark. So Rasulullah asked, what happened? You know, I saw a dream that the moon is coming from Yathrib and is landing on my laps. So when I related the dream to my husband, he smacked me. You're dreaming about the king of Yathrib. Rasulullah. You're dreaming about him. The dream of a kafir also can be true. So anyway, when Yusuf alayhi salam is relating the dream to the father, so the father tells him, alright, this is an indication that inshallah, you'll have a very bright future. You'll be a great person, a bright future, and your brother and all will show respect to you, and will bow down in respect to you. But, whatever it is worth, لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك. You don't relate the dream to your brothers. Because the world has it that every prosperous person is envied. Because they are in the home of Nubuwwat. You tell them the dream, they'll know what it's referring to, right? When they know what it's referring to leadership, and that all of us will be subdued before you. So they will have to express the hatred and the jealousy in some way. Because every prosperous person is envied in this world. This is how the world operates. So don't relate the dream to them. So we understand also that we behave in this world in a way that we are not envied. You got the wealth, but don't behave in a way that people become jealous, they become envious over you. Some years back, when there was a lot of car thefts and all that, you know. So, there were some youngsters that were on the patrol, you know. So, I just asked one of those people, that why is this car theft and all more amongst the Indians as compared to the whites? You don't hear that the whites' cars are being stolen, like our cars are being stolen. See, our guys got a problem. What's the problem? See, our problem is, when you got the wealth, we are showing it. Work now, and the house, the outside of the house is finished. The finish is too great, and the car that is showing is also very great. So that attracts the jealousies, they attract it. So someone should rob this thing or steal because he sees the house, he sees too attractive. He sees the car, it's too great. So he can't resist, so he goes to steal the thing. Now these people, what they do is the front of the house, they don't make it look too attractive. And they won't just drive posh cars. So it doesn't attract anybody. Now we are showing them, and then they can't resist. When they can't resist, you have this type of an occurrence. La taqsus ru'yaka ala ikhwati. So, to make adjustments to your life that you save from envy and jealousy. So some small minor adjustments, as Hadith Sahib Rahmatullahi, who's like the leader of all the awliya in this last century. He's the last two centuries, he's like the leader of all the awliya. So, he had moved on to Makkah Mukarramah. Up till recently, and I know that it still exists, but Makkah Mukarramah and Medina Munawwara, they were Rabat. Rabat is like a hotel, right? It was, in that zamana, it was subsidized. So you pay about quarter of the amount of a normal hotel. So the hotel is charging, you say, 100 riyals a day. The Rabat will charge, you say, about 20 riyals, or say 10 riyals. Just 10 riyals for the day. So that was subsidized. It was wakaf and was subsidized. So because it was given for that purpose, the people that can't afford it, then they will stay here. So Hadith Sahib was staying there. Whatever 10 riyals, whatever they're paying. And people will count these people to be eligible for zakat, poor, etc. Sometimes they'll give sadaqah, sometimes someone will give sadaqah, zakat, etc. So it's a whole block of flats, 50 flats. So I got something to distribute. I go and give to every flat. So the man is giving out to every flat. Whatever he's got, 10 riyals or 20 riyals, he's giving to every flat. Now, when he knocked the door, Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and he saw, he got a shock and he came backwards. So Hadith Sahib called him. What happened? Why you went back? So no, it's alright. So tell him why you went back. So I came to give this to all the flats here. When I saw your flat inside, so Hazrat Rahmatullahi was very neat by nature. Everything is placed properly, correctly. So now it gives an impression that he's a wealthy person. But he wasn't wealthy. But everything was placed very well, set up very well. So he fell on Hazrat, he's a very wealthy person, and I'm giving 10 rupees here, 10 riyals, so it's going to be like an embarrassment to him. I said, no, no, Hazrat said, no, come, give me that 10 rupees. It's because of your people's gifts that you see all this wealth around you. It wasn't your gift, and you wouldn't have seen this wealth around you. Anyway, that person gave that 10 rupees and he went away. Next day, someone, Hazrat Haji Sahib, received a gift of about 10,000 riyals. This was 10,000. So Hazrat told the Khadim, you see this person here, he's broken down, he's incurred a big debt. This thing here, go and give it to him. Now the Khadim must know, there you are asking for the 10 rupees, and here the 10,000 you're giving you straight, you just received it. So as you see, you don't understand the mentality here. Mentality here is this, that if they see some wealth by someone, then they become envious. So if I had, I showed an attitude, I don't need it, then the word would have gone around that Hazrat doesn't accept gifts because he's very wealthy. So what will have happened? Then I'll be envied. I'll become a target of, you know, people's envy. And then I can't do the thing that I need to do. But someone is putting some obstacle, someone's putting some obstacle. I came here so that I could worship Allah Ta'ala freely, easily, peacefully. And now if this obstacle on my way all the time, then can I do my thing? I can't do my thing. So therefore, now the world will go, alright, someone came and gave some sadaqah. So Hazrat Haji Sahib also accepted. So that he's like, he's an equal to us. So now, they won't envy me. So I'm safe from the envy. So we don't do things, we don't live in a way that we envied, people are jealous of us, they envy us, and then hatred. You take this precautionary measure so that you can do your work, namaz, your ibadah, etc. You can do it properly. In the old days, there was a lot of illiteracy, right? So, one person, he went out of the village and he is working now, and he sent a letter to his wife. So the wife can't read, so there's a Miyaji. Miyaji is like a teacher, like a school teacher. So he must be literate. So she gave the letter to the Miyaji to explain what happened. Now, as the Miyaji is reading the letter, the Miyaji is saying to the wife, cry, now cry. So she thought, oh, the husband is sick or something, in serious problems, and therefore I must cry. Or perhaps the letter came from someone else, the husband has died. So she started crying. And when she started crying, the townspeople came along. So she's sobbing a little bit loudly. The house is all closed by, not like Spinger Beach, one house here, one house so far. So townspeople, he's telling the townspeople, you almost cry also. They're also crying now. At the end, he started crying. But now they're asking, Miyaji, tell us, what are we crying for? So you're crying for this because he's went out, he got a top job, right? And what we earn in a year, he's earning in a day. So they're shouting at Miyaji, is that a thing to cry over or to rejoice over? What we earning in a year, he's making in a day. So we need to rejoice. No, you don't understand. You see, I'm earning so well. You think now he'll be content and happy with a cheap, with an easy, simple villager woman? Then he wants some posh woman. He won't want a villager woman now. Now he wants some posh style woman. You know, lipstick, powder, all that. You dress up like this and like that. So he's not going to be content and happy with this and simple village woman. So he'll separate you and get that posh woman again. So that's why I say he must cry. And then why is asked all that? the village people to cry. So now, he's got so much of money, you think he'll live in a small hut? Like we're living now in small huts, right? Now he's earning one day what you will earn in a year. You think, oh, now he's going to buy all of your out and put up a posh building, right? So he's going to take all your houses away. So you need to cry also over it. And I need to cry also over it because I'm a village teacher, right? I'm a village school teacher. So now, I'll be teaching village style, very primary, very basic stuff. Now you think now his children are going to come to me. So I'm out of business also. So you see this envy how it works. Understand how it works. So the simple thing, if I lead a simple life, do the work and just forget it. If it's deen work, whatever work, deen it quietly, low profile, nobody knows about it, between you and Allah Ta'ala, carry on. The moment you come in the limelight, that's a shackle. You know, you can't go toilet easily, you can't change properly, you can't bath properly, you can't, every move of yours is calculated. You are like in a shackle. And you're not in the limelight, it's easy, simple, flowing nicely. Unless if Allah Ta'ala puts you into that predicament, then He'll take care. If He brings you to fame, then He will take care. And if you go into fame, then that's a shackle. You know that Diana story, she died about 20 years ago. Diana, Dodi, how many years? 20, 25. Yeah. So, they come and tell the story, all the sympathizing, see how they killed her and all that, right? But I say, sympathy is not true. Why? So many people are dying, right? Most of motor car accidents, robbery, and the crying, they're dying. You didn't cry about all that. You would cry over this one here. Because white is right. Because it's bright. And everything else is not right. So just because of the color of that is right, so you start crying over it. So they were showing, people come and relate the stories. The only thing I get to know when people come and tell me. See, they mark so much they mark that everything of hers, everything she does, that is on camera. And it becomes a news like. You know, she's hungry, for example, and she opens the fridge to eat something. That's also marked. So every move is calculated. Now you're not in the limelight. You know, you are a free person. But the moment you come into the limelight, you're in shackles now. You lost your freedom. So don't go in that line. لا تخصص رؤياك على إخوتك فيكيدوا لك كيدا. You see, I said at the beginning, the story of the beautiful is also beautiful. That's why Allah says, نقص عليك أحسن القصص. Best story. Give you the story that is best. That's why now the old people tell you that in Gujarati they said, Machi khavaravani, machi darni batavani. Right? What it means that when you got good fish, right, you feed it to your mehman, or your friends for it. But don't show where you're getting it from. That's your business, right? But it's your business, then you'll offer something to others or whatever. But you don't show where you're getting the thing from. See, all this نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ مَا أَوْحَيْنَا. In the process of the revelation, we are relating to you the best story. إِذْ قَالُوا لَيُوسُفُ وَأَخُوهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَىٰ أَبِينَا وَنَحْنُ. Now that thing spiraled, that jealousy spiraled. They saw this child is the favorite of the father. Because the father knows that this man here, this child here, is going to be a Nabi. He's going to be a leader of a nation. Right? So obviously now I know that this child of mine is going to be a leader of a nation. He's going to be a Nabi. So he'll be my favorite child. Right? Obviously, right? So the rest of the brothers, they spotted it. Okay, this child here is getting all the favor and we're not getting it. So now that's where the jealousy started. So you understand that jealousy can also be in pious people, good homes. Now this is it's a house of a Nabi, isn't it? 11, 12 brothers. But they're all spying on this child here just because he's getting greater attention. So it doesn't mean that you're a pious one. So you won't be envied. You also can be a victim to envy. So guard yourself, look after yourself. Don't just splash your things around. Allah Bakhtu Fiz.